We've moved into the letter of James and another section of Mark. James, the brother of the Lord, was replete with the inherited wisdom of his people. And that's what he's talking about here. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And then he goes through a list. This is a very profound sort of a thing. The moralists among the Greeks did this too. Your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance be perfect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. And then he comes to the next part. But he should ask in faith, not doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed about, and so forth. Well, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I sure wish my faith were better than it is. But I want to tell you, I trust you. I want you to do with my life what is your will. And I know you want me to ask you for things, and I will. But it's not gearing yourself up. I know. That's not going to do it either. Faith. And so he goes on, you see. And then finally, these are all great Old Testament themes that James is. The brother in lowly circumstances should take pride in high standing. Why? Because he's a Christian. He's been, you know, gifted with faith and baptism. So he's rich. One of these young Hispanic fellows who they live here, you know, and help us. And they believe. Now, they're Seventh-day Adventists or something. They're not Christians. Somebody talked them out of it, I guess, years ago. Maybe they'll come back. But they do believe. That makes them richer and more advanced than all the neighbors who don't. Many of the neighbors do, but I mean for those who don't. And then the Pharisees came forward and wanted a sign. And he said, no sign will be given to this generation. Now, what's that all about? That's saying, I want to be totally safe. Force me to believe. No risk anywhere. Well, suppose a fellow wants to marry a girl. Does he want like a contract? You will never do this. You will always, you know, before he can propose. I mean, he's not going to get married. There's trust. There's love. I love you, Lord. And I know that you will care for me. And that's what he's saying here, you see. If you ask for a sign, you're going to put all your weight on the sign. And what will happen? Tomorrow you'll ask for another sign. Because your faith is not ready, you know, leaning on the trustworthiness of God. The word in Hebrew, the verb in Hebrew, hehemin, I think I've said this before. The root there is aman, from which we get amen, for instance, you see. So faith, the Hebrew conception of faith, which is the biblical conception of faith, is that you make God so firm and you lead over so far on him that if he doesn't come through, you fall flat on your face. He always will come through. But you lean on him, you rest on him, you trust him. But no sign will be given this generation because you'll ask for another one. And pretty soon, it's more the excitement of the signs than the truth to which they bear witness. So he left them, got into the boat, and went off to the other shore. Now remember, who asked for this sign? Pharisees. Do something so overwhelming that you force us to believe. There's no such thing. Faith which is not free is not faith. And so, do we need signs and help? Oh, my Lord, yes. You know, we're praying now that when people go out to the abortion clinic, there'll be 10 saves today to show the glory, the power, the majesty, the mercy of the Lord Christ. That's fine. Anyway, you get the idea.